Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Still live on a Tuesday, merely Bo, the great Z. Am I seeing this right? The man whose loins the show is birthed is joining?
That's right, the notorious VIC.
How about that?
That's exciting to talk about our reported offensive coordinator.
For a job that's reportedly open.
That's right.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
He'll join. There might be some news on that later on in the week.
Yeah, there already has been news. It's been reported.
That's the news. The reporting.
Well, we'll get the scoop. If indeed it appears maybe he might be coming. But
will we get the scoop or will we get the confirmation?
No. We'll get the scoop today from Notorious.
Oh, Notorious may have
boots on the ground.
That's amazing. Like
he may have talked to him.
He may have talked to him.
Yeah.
Can your source?
Can we say we'll have to say that. Can you confirm that Ken Dorsey has been hired by the Cleveland Browns? And then he can go back to his reporting days and
say, yeah, who's your source? Ken Dorsey. Oh. That's in play.
Has happened in the past, and we have not been able to report.
Well, we weren't, but we
were not.
He's not under that yoke.
No, there's no yoke. Yokeless.
He's yokeless. That's right. That's at 2:30. Oh, baby.
That's going to be fun. So we have that to look forward to, which is very nice. I'm coming in today. We've had a stretch of about a week of like this 50s, 40s. Today it's cooler. It's like low 40s, mid 40s. Sun's out today.
Kind of out.
It's a weak performance.
We haven't seen it. Never thought to put on sunglasses. I was like,
I actually did. On the way over, it started to pop, and I did. I actually forgot like what time of year it was, because it's felt so much like March, the last week, that I was almost. If you would have said to me, we had some snow. No. But it's all been gone for better part of a week, and it's been in the 50s. It's been rainy. Like 40s,
it's
like
just
it's classic
mix,
March.
Which is March. Usually.
Yeah, this normally this time of year,
oh, yeah.
It's deep freeze. You know, we're 20s and 30s is kind of the operation. And we're, you could convince me it was March 7th.
It's not. In fact, today is Nana's birthday eve.
Oh my gosh, the birthday eve. Birthday now, is she eve. As audacious in her ass as Pedro is for the birthday dinner?
No, she wanted, I don't know. So strange. She wanted French flavored pork was her request. Brussels sprouts
like
and a salad
with like a burgundy wine sauce.
I don't know. So I'm gonna make a pork tenderloin. Okay. I'm gonna use some herbs de Provence in the seasoning.
I like it.
And then I'm gonna make an au poivre sauce with a currant jelly.
How are you gonna do this? What was that? Run that by me again.
I think I said it right or wrong.
No, I think you
know.
Said it right. Au poivre. I think you did. You could have convinced me either way. I don't have.
It's going to have some chicken and
right
some chicken and beef broth in the stock.
Okay.
And then you reduce it down. We mix it with a little bit of this black currant jam because that's not too sweet. And then reduce it down, a little cornstarch, salt, pepper, and then you turn it into a thick kind of demi-glace that I'll drizzle over the pork tenderloin.
I like that. And you're going to sous vide that sucker?
I'll sous vide that sucker. I'm going to sear it first, then sous vide it.
I like it. Sear first, give you the crisp, and then you'll sous vide it up and make it perfect. You don't have to worry about it. It's a good thought.
Yeah.
All right. So that's she'll go that
that's
route.
It. That's what she – that's that was the request.
Okay.
And she wanted – you're going to love this. She wanted a mini screwdriver set.
I thought you were going to say a mini screwdriver like cocktail.
No. She does not want that. I mean, I'd be happy to give her one.
Equally would have been as shocking.
If she,
an actual mini screwdriver set would have been equally as shocking as a mini screwdriver.
Yeah.
Like a little orange with an absolute.
Orange, yeah. I'd be so thrilled if that's what she wanted. She wanted that. She wanted an orchid.
Beautiful. Orchids are beautiful.
They are beautiful. And then I had gotten her, you know, those Stanley, I mean, of course, you know, they're everywhere. They're now SNL skits. They're everywhere.
I don't get it.
I dropped Bryce off. I wonder if you have the same experience. I dropped Bryce off at school this morning, or last week, I'm sorry. And I saw probably 20 middle school girls get out of their parents' cars and go in. 20 for 20 had a Stanley.
So
Arden takes her Stanley.
It's a everywhere. It is an insulated.
It's a Yeti.
It's a Yeti
with
right?
a handle.
With a handle. That's all it is. It's a Yeti with a handle.
That's right.
Yeah. The one thing. Do I dare? Should I? I don't even know. I'll save this for off because I think I could dissuade like all of the girls in wearing in using these things.
I don't think you can dissuade it. It's a fad.
Should I try to dissuade
them? The momentum is. It's.
Should I try to dissuade
them? It's a fad.
I know it's a fad, but like there's something that's. Go ahead, Gibby. Do you have something real?
It's about the Stanley.
Right, go ahead. Go with the Stanley.
It's the lead. The conversation is about the lead.
Supposedly
in all of
lead.
These tumblers, there is
not
one
Yeti,
lead
not
threat, and it is in the Stanley cups.
So there's lead in the cup?
Yes.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
They vehemently deny the allegations.
I bet. Yeah. So the tobacco companies.
Right.
Well, Stanley did say, yes, lead is used in the manufacturing process.
Oh, my gosh.
But the product needs to become damaged in order to expose the lead.
Excuse well, me? Maybe when kids are fighting over the Stanleys, they'll get damaged, and then lead will leak everywhere.
I mean.
I was just going to use the much more vain poll of if you, one of the fastest way to cause wrinkles in your mouth is to suck on a straw.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Think also about keeps it. Your teeth, though, whiter.
Right. And you get the wrinkles in the lip with it.
Did not know that.
If you're trying to persuade, those are go lead so, and wrinkles in the lip.
So Nana doesn't want the big one, but shoot, there's this. They make one that's I think a 20 ounce tumbler that has a top with a handle.
And she like wants like the gripper
and like a sippy cup straw, and so we got that for her for Christmas because she Nana. It is true in her 70s, she's loved a sippy cup. She thinks the convenience of a sippy cup is unbelievable.
Now, are you talking about like the ones when they're like little babies and they?
Basically, it would be ones where they're like, this is for like a six-year-old. Okay. So it's like a plastic one with that straw that like flips up.
Oh,
that you have to like.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like the same kind of straw that you kind of like bite the suction straw.
Oh, that you want the.
Yeah. So we're like, enough. Can't have
Fine.
That anymore. So I'm like, we're getting
gotta move on.
This is a grown-up version of that.
I like it.
She liked it so much, so now she has one. She wants to have one at our house and one at her house.
Multiple.
Yeah, she's like.
And then the mini screwdriver.
Because I was like, but it has a handle, so it can travel with you.
You can take it anywhere.
Take it anywhere you want. But
it's not
she
bound
wants one at
by
each place.
By
and by the way,
domicile.
These things.
Well, happy birthday, Nana. Happy
these
birthday.
Things are tough. These things are tough to acquire right now. They are hot. Did you? I mean, I don't know if you saw the viral video about my mom's. Here's my mom. Nana firing just rapid fire stream conscious. You told me I had to tell you what flavor I wanted. So I was like, what do you want for dinner? Like,
yeah.
What kind of cuisine and what
yeah.
protein? So that's how we got, hence
that's
French.
That's so French.
Then she said, so do I want a lead laden Stanley? It's there's no, don't break it.
And don't
then,
break it. You're
and
fine.
Then, the and bottom. Then next one, now I know why I have wrinkles around my lips. There it is. There it is.
That's it. Sucking on straws. You don't need them. There's no need. No need, kids.
The bottom of each quencher made by the Beverage Container Powerhouse is a circular barrier made of stainless steel, which covers a pellet that contains lead. A spokesperson for Stanley
choice.
Explains. The pellet seals the product's vacuum insulation, and it is not accessible unless the stainless steel barrier comes off, which is possible but rare, per the spokesman.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like you'd know if like
no right away. I think
your barrier came off and there was a lead nugget.
Yeah,
looking you in the staring you in the face.
I feel like you would.
Why even mess with it?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's fine, Nana. You're safe.
You're safe.
We would never.
You're fine. We're never going to do anything to put the Nana in any harm's way. No one will ever. Do
Nobody
that.
Has danger. There are no dangerous fads.
No, not at all. So I watched my first NBA game last night, and you went to.
I was there.
Yeah. It was great.
It was great.
It was really pretty great. Like, I hadn't watched one this year. We got done with basketball practice, and Beamsy wanted to watch it, and NBC was doing gaming stuff. And so we watched. Beamsy and I watched. It was awesome. It was great.
Kawhi is awesome.
He's great.
Donovan Mitchell is awesome.
Awesome.
We've got some guys that look like they could be playing in the rec league. Like that one guy who airballed this with Georges and Yang. Like,
yeah.
I cannot believe that guy's in the NBA. Like, unbelievable to me.
Good length.
He made a couple threes, I think.
Yeah.
At one point, though, I said to Novak, he was like 2 for 8. He had airballed one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could do that. It's like I'd go 2 for 8 in air ball and be useless on defense.
Perfect. You'd shoot better.
I think so.
You give you a month. I don't think
like
you're going to go 2 of 8.
That's all I was doing?
If all you're doing is knocking down shots.
Yeah.
I feel like you could do that.
They play very little defense.
No.
Kawhi was still fun to watch. Harden actually was pretty good in this one. Russ had some good moments. The Cavs are good. The Cavs have a big question of what to do now when Garland comes back because it feels like it ain't broke right now.
No, well, they won like 9 out of 10.
Now 10 out of 11, and the Clips had won 5 in a row by double digits.
Yeah.
Against good teams.
Yep.
So this is my one takeaway. I'm curious watching it. Did you know going in or coming out of the game, do you know what Paul George has been averaging this season?
No point of reference.
Okay. All right. So my big takeaway from this game was like, dude, Paul George is washed.
Like broken. Done.
I thought he looked washed. He had ISOs on Mobley and couldn't even get to the basket. I mean, he looked washed to me.
I think the thing about that league, though, is like, This is why they're in such a tough spot, and they are in a tough spot. Like, you don't know what you're going to get night to night, and it's just like Embiid not playing this weekend in Denver with a mysterious knee thing, and he hasn't played in Denver in 3 years.
And didn't play in Portland last night, right?
Yeah, and last year, like, Luka didn't play here, Steph didn't play here. Like, it sucks. Like, you don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. So, like, in this league that we make living talking about, if you're healthy, you play. And oftentimes, if you're not healthy, you play.
Well, and every game matters.
Because you're playing one game, every game matters. In their league, the games don't matter.
That's the problem. So I'm saying, who cares? Nobody cares who won.
Didn't matter who wins or lose. You hope you're entertained for a couple hours, but that's it. But, like,
there are no stakes.
What matters is, like, a 10-game tranche.
Yes.
To bring back one of your favorite words that I just loved. What matters is, like, how are you in 10 games? That's really what it is. An individual game is nothing. So, like, Paul George, by the way you framed that, leads me to believe that he's having an exceptional season.
He's averaging like 23.5, 6 board. And I was like, there's no way. Yeah. I watched this game. There's no way.
No.
He looks washed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very good. I mean, he was great in Oklahoma City. He was great, obviously, in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Paul George fan. That was the thing I was maybe the most disappointed by. Russ still can't shoot. I mean,
no,
it's unreal.
Yeah, he's – once he lost the explosiveness to the level at which he had it, which is historic, once that happened, then there's no downshift.
The guy who was nasty was Kawhi. Kawhi looked pretty nasty. Harden, it's so funny. I was with my buddy Novak, and like, he's like, he's gonna drive the basket, he's gonna go up for a layup and just throw his head back.
Yep.
Sure enough, so he did got a call.
Yeah.
Just shooting free throws.
Yeah.
But the Cavs, they had a couple runs. Cavs withstood the runs, and they're playing well as a team. I think Jared Allen had a big double-double, almost, I think he almost 15 and 15, or I think he had 13 points, 17 boards, something like that. It was good. It was fun. Good environment. I had a blast.
Their job is...
And it was sold out, dude. Like, there were
no
empty
seats.
Tell,
yeah. Their job is to be relevant in January when football ends. That's their job. And then in order for it to be like a movement, you got to win a round.
In the playoffs.
Yep. You got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You got to get to the semifinal. Like, you got to make it last for a few weeks, and then it becomes the thing to do.
That's what's so wild to me, and that's what we were talking about, is that the NFL and college football is kind of the minor league to it, but just by the nature of their sport, have a scarcity of product that
that's
makes
right.
every game matter. Like, the notion that 82 basketball games, all they don't matter.
They don't. No.
Especially not what's going on here. And then baseball, 162. Like, it's ludicrous.
Yeah. No, there's a the other thing that I think, I mean, there's a million factors that led to football's boom. We talked about peak NFL yesterday. And then now peak college football is happening at the same time, and it's all a football rocket ship. It's not only the scarcity of product. It's not only the every game matters. All of those things help, certainly. But over the course of the last 30, 40 years, it's the advent of HD television. And an ability to see more of the product than ever before and to see it crystal clear. And quite frankly, it's what we do. This job, like sports talk, booming over the last 30 years and becoming the medium what it is and then podcast offshoot off of it, it's perfect for football. It's perfect. You spend Monday reacting to what happened. Tuesday, you're still kind of reacting.
Yep.
You're taking a bigger look at all of it. By Wednesday, you're on to the next. After further review, by Wednesday, you're on to the next game. You can't come on and do like daily sports talk radio or daily podcasting, whatever, and make a big deal about an individual game when they play the next day.
Right.
You just can't. No. Can't sell it. So it's all of the factors, and then the fantasy football and all of it.
Sure.
But it's all led to, you know, this peak football and everything else just grasping for some bit of attention.
Yeah, like I, even from a rating standpoint, you could probably add up, I don't know, how many weeks of NBA, like all the games, you could probably add up a week's worth of games maybe to get to what you're going to get out of the Super Bowl or what you got out of the combined AFC-NFC championship games.
Well, the Niners was 58.
58.
Yeah. Niners was 58. I did not see the Chiefs-Ravens numbers. I don't know why those aren't out. Have you guys seen Chiefs Ravens? I haven't seen those numbers.
No, I have not
today. I have not. I just saw the 58 million.
Fox put theirs out. They put their numbers out, but I did not see. I have not seen a rating on the Chiefs. But yeah, I mean that's everything else is hanging on, trying to grasp for something and keep it. And that league, and I think baseball is to like this to a certain extent too. I think people like talking about the drama around it more than they like watching it.
Yes,
I mean that's what the ratings tell you.
Yeah.
Chiefs win over the Ravens last Sunday. Most watched AFC championship game ever, according to CBS. This was out 49 minutes ago.
Okay.
Game averaged 55.4 million in the early window.
55.4 and
58.
113.4. Yeah. And they'll do, you do 100 in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's, so how do you, and you're, you're going to be around, you'll be under 10 million on NBA Finals games.
Under 10 million.
That's what I said. Under.
Yeah. Yeah. An entire series added up.
May not equal.
It might not even equal.
One.
The AFC Championship or the NFC Championship.
Might not. Very, depending on the teams that are involved in it. That's wild. Speaking of the Super Bowl, the uniform matchup is predicted by us is set.
Yep.
Chiefs in red, Niners
predicted
in white.
Predicted by you, really, if we're going to be honest.
Well,
it's a great job.
Credit
did,
where it's all.
Did you see the Schefter tweet?
No, what did he do?
I encourage you guys to go and
right,
look.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
The number of patches
on
the Chiefs uniform almost makes it look like a NASCAR outfit.
All right, I'm getting it right now. I'm on the. He's been active.
Yep.
Oh gosh,
there's a lot going on there.
All right, so they've got a. Let's see what they've got on this thing.
I mean, the one is a C for a captain.
So it's a Mahomes. Is this a Mahomes? So then that's got to be a Hunt matriarch. Homage to the football, right? That's got to be what that is. The NKH. It's got to be like Lamar Hunt's wife or something, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah, it's got to be.
They always have that AFC, the old school AFC patch, and then they're putting the Super Bowl patch on there too. The Super Bowl patch, they should put it like back label if they feel like they have to, or they could put the NKH like on a sleeve.
Yeah, it
like, looks crazy.
That feels like a lot of patching.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. The Chiefs actually put it out. It says all patched up. Yeah. It's really busy.
It's way too busy.
Yeah. How about one on the sleeves? How about?
Yeah. Do the memorial one on the sleeves. Like the Hallis one. And we used to have the Al one on our sleeves and the William Clay Ford one. Like, do that for the Super Bowl to pay homage. And then you can. But that's a lot.
It's a ton. And he's got his captain one. So he's got four.
Yeah. I'd love the Niners if they – I don't think you could do that, but if they could come out in the drop shadow.
They can't, but
they can't,
man,
do it.
It would be good.
That would be very clean because they played – this is the exact same matchup we've had last time, exact same look.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs, there's nothing really you can do with theirs. Like their red over white is – you can't put them in red over red. That looks ridiculous. But they, you could do it with the Niners. If
for sure.
If you drop shadow with the white pants.
I'll be honest. I think this matchup would look best if the Niners were there in the red and gold and the Chiefs were in there all white with the red lid. I think that's a great look for the Chiefs.
But they never wear it. They wear red pants all the times now.
I don't like that.
They're always red pants. Like they're the old white over white, like Joe when Joe was there and Steve DeBerg and that.
Steve
they don't wear that anymore.
Love that.
Okoye.
Yeah.
The
dudes.
Nigerian nightmare.
Yeah, he was good. A lot of people talk about Bo on Tecmo. Okoye was right there. He wasn't quite, but he was right there.
Christian Okoye and Barry Word was a solid.
Barry Word was the number two.
In the event that Okoye got hurt in the game.
They were like, it's like they saw the success we had with Mack and Biner and the big backs, and they said, hold our beer.
Yeah.
And they went and got those two.
I mean, Schottenheimer.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
A lot of lineage there. Yeah, so there you go on that. We do now know The top four seeds in our best game of the year. So I was stunned at the dominance of this.
Stunned. So were we. We kept watching it. I'm like, it's got to come back.
Flip, right? Do you think it's just the idea of you beat the best team?
And I think I think people like Watson, and that was the Watson game. That's the game that you look back this season and you say, that's why I think we're going to be okay this year.
It's a very good pitch out of you. I think it's possible that I can't separate the show that we did 2 days later from it.
Maybe. That game.
I can't.
That was I can tell
because
you
because of
me,
what happened after. I mean, that I was don't even best. Really remember the Monday show because all I think about in that week was the Wednesday show.
Okay. That Sunday standing out by the buses was the best I've ever felt in my entire time with the Browns,
this, yeah.
And the best the players felt in the front office, felt, yeah. Everybody, the best of Sean
I do
felt.
Remember that.
It was like, this is what we were brought here to do. We pulled it off. Now we go. It was.
Would you have had it being this dominant, though, over the Jets? That dominant?
No, but that's so that's what it says to me is yeah. that was the one that we were supposed to be, was that game. That was yeah. with Watson beating the Ravens in Baltimore, dramatic come from behind victory at the end, that final drive. You had Chief, the angry run. You had the rugby scrum where we yeah. pushed, you know, 20 yards and just took it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your point is well made. I also think that there's something to the effect of like that was we beat the best team in the league at their place, and that,
yes.
that there was that part of it too.
And
but
you,
I never
you
would
basically
have had it like that.
Beat them into submission. Like that fourth quarter.
Yes,
I know it was a 2-point game and it came down to the very end, but we got control of that game.
Yeah,
and they just. It you could tell everybody in that stadium knew what was coming.
Yeah, it's wild. My crystallized in my memory is the show we did Wednesday. Like that's when I look back on that week. That's until you started going through all of that. It was like it didn't happen. Like I remember the 14 out of 14. I remember all that. But the when I think of that week, I'll never forget. Like I was walking Buddy that night after we did the show on that Wednesday, and my neighbor, diehard Browns fans, and he stopped me, and he's like, so what's going on? I said, dude, I just presided over a funeral. Like,
yeah,
that's
you gotta,
what it felt
you
like.
You got to remember Monday. Dude, it was pure joy. We
I'm
were
sure
in here,
it was. I'm sure chesty. We were chesty and bouncing off walls. And
yeah. You know what I think? I think to remind the people, I have an idea.
Oh, boy.
I have
the
an
open?
Idea. I think when we do this poll.
This is going to be good, Uno. Stand by here.
I think you're onto something.
Hold on. I think I'm onto something big.
I think you're onto something.
Okay?
Yep.
When we get down to the final four,
yeah.
we play that week the Victory Monday show of each game, and then we come back live Friday and have the vote.
I love it.
Dude,
I think it's unbelievable.
But you don't even remember.
I don't remember.
So maybe they don't remember what Victory Monday was like. That pure joy. You lived
yeah.
it, and you don't remember.
I don't remember it.
What would be more fun than listening to that Victory Monday show again?
There you go. I love it. Look at his face.
This
he
is
maybe.
The thing is, hold he knows it's actually a good idea.
He does know it's
it is great off-season content. Let's relive. Let's play our Victory Mondays. And for the final four,
know.
Whatever
I would,
makes it final
I would
four,
be, all right. I will meet you halfway, and I would tell you that maybe we could replay the Joe Thomas half hour with you.
Oh,
two.
You got to do the first segment.
No,
the first segment.
Set? What are you
the
talking
first segment
about?
You got to do. The first segment.
If you
want
to take an hour of
the
each
joy,
show and do it over the course of 2 days yeah. as opposed to the full four, which I think you're robbing the people of, because yeah. who knows what other silliness is. Listen, perfect example.
Hey, I'll play it. You just have to sit in that studio and listen just in case we have issues.
In case we have
we'll
issues.
We'll be on our Comrex.
No. You would have to be here.
No, we'll be dialed in.
Be physically here.
Yeah, see,
well, you wouldn't have to either, Gibby.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to be here either.
You wouldn't have to be here either. It'd just be joy for everybody. There would be no issues.
I think people would be pumped to listen to that show. I'm not even kidding.
I think it's a very good
we one. Haven't had a lot of these to do.
What do you have?
So this was a
it's amazing. I don't remember that show, though, because of the Wednesday.
That's why we
I
need
know.
To do this. How many other people are in your boat?
It was your eureka moment.
You didn't even really remember what it was like after we beat Pittsburgh.
You no, were I, like had kind to pull of like, up, I had to pull up the Bootsy video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? So boom.
Yeah.
That's two.
Yep.
Now we're on to Wednesday. How about the Jets game? We made the playoffs. There we go. On to Thursday.
All set.
After week one, dominance of the Bengals? Who doesn't want to relive that?
Pure joy.
So I got a DM from David Gray, and he said, Nerd, Pedro voice. He goes, This is incredible. On today's show, you said miss a little, miss a lot in reference to Schefter referring to Kelce reception mark 3 days after Griff's stat of the day mentioned this exact stat. I bring this up because there's a group of us guys who literally text nonstop about the CBD vocabulary used during the show, which I've started compiling a CBD vocab list. Well, Bo says in the first 3 minutes of yesterday's show that Sunday was on the full moisture spectrum while walking into Whole Foods, and I lost it. I texted the boys full moisture spectrum immediately, to which my brother responds by saying he missed it. His wife had called him. He missed a few minutes of the show. I'll say you guys are 100% accurate by saying miss a little, miss a lot. Literally have to listen to every second of the show. So much more to come. Fine. A-plus DMing. Thank you, David. We appreciate the sentiments.
That's a great job of him.
And this is why maybe somebody missed those Monday shows.
There could have been a full moisture spectrum dropped on that show.
We don't even know. You don't even remember anything. You don't remember nothing.
I remember none of it.
I'm not going to lie. I've had a lot of good ideas, I would say.
This is
dare
I
say,
it's a good one.
This is a very good idea.
It's a very good one. I don't disagree.
Why wouldn't we do that?
I think it's very good. I think we can have a conversation. We'll have a conversation.
I think we should have a conversation.
I think it's a very good idea out of you.
Yeah. I'm quite pleased with it,
to be honest. What else? All right, so we did it. We did the deal of the day.
When someone says that's your brainchild, like that's how much I love that idea. Like it's my brainchild.
I know what I wanted to get to you. We were the Browns Raven, the 65% vote. And how the Wednesday show is what I remember most from that week, unfortunately. So the 25 years since the Sopranos, right? So I was talking to somebody this morning who watched it, but was not in the position of having watched it in real time, but rather watched it with the knowledge that the finale was going to, that they were going to be at a diner and it was going to go black. And the perspective that they had, because it was essentially wrecked, like that moment was wrecked
totally.
Because it was well known. And I said that it was the same thing that happened like with the boys with Darth Vader. Like they weren't scared of Darth Vader in Star Wars or Empire because they knew that he's Luke's dad. So what's to fear? Like he's a good guy at heart. And when you watch the first two without the knowledge of that, I was more scared of Darth Vader than anybody in the world.
Dude, when I had a fever dream induced by when I got my finger cut off.
Yeah.
And then I had these like hallucinations and I went sprinting out of my bed to my parents' room. It was because I was being chased by Darth Vader.
Vader.
My hallucination. Yeah. And I was
terrifying.
Terrified.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it. When I saw this, the first thing I thought of is because of something that happens, you have to take yourself to the moment. Like, I felt bad for the person who's watching The Sopranos and that they didn't have the experience of what that was like in real time.
It would be like if you knew about the Red Wedding before you ever watched the episode.
Same thing. Yeah.
Can't have the same.
Yeah.
Oomph.
You didn't even, when I watched that show in real time, you watched that show in real time. You didn't have, when you were watching that episode, you had no clue.
I didn't read the books. No.
Nor did I. So I had no idea. I didn't even pay any attention to the name of the episode. I didn't even know what it was in reference to.
I thought maybe they were going to wear red.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I never even, in those days, I wasn't like looking up the episode and seeing like what's going to happen. I was just that this was the next show that was up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget. I spilled, at the time we were in Dublin, I spilled like a half glass of red wine and we had ivory white carpet. Like I hit it with my knee as I jostled and it spilled all over the carpet in the middle of that episode before that scene, but in the middle.
Okay.
So it took about 15 minutes to get it to the point where it was cleaned up. That's never a fun clean. Red wine out of ivory. Never fun. But we're able to get it cleaned up. And in the time that 15 minute, it goes back to that live sports and shows you care about. In that 15 minutes, it caused my phone at, so I knew something big was coming. My wife didn't. My phone at 11, because that show aired 10 to 11, at 11:01, bzz, 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 one after another.
Like we had traded for OBJ.
Just like we traded for OBJ. Top 10 podcasts in the world, no big deal.
No big deal.
Those are your hot topics of the day, presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of your Cleveland Browns. We will get into the Brownie Awards coming up next. We got 8-9 game is coming up next. We've got some... Boy, you want to talk about a villain. We're ready, baby. This program's ready.
Oh, we're so
we're
ready.
We're so ready.
So
for this
ready.
One.
I can't wait.
This is going to be fun. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. Brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns. Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join NextGen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist to your Cleveland Browns. Being a NextGen STM is the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. So the CBD Brownie Awards continue today. Today's poll is the 8 seed, the Jags game, versus the 9 seed, the Bears game. All right. And
it's the play-in game for the right to take
this is
on
to,
the Ravens.
To be the Ravens.
Yeah, tomorrow.
To play on the Ravens. I am still – I'm floored at the dominance of the Ravens win. The Browns-Ravens
people,
win. No,
people
I understand the points. I'm just saying thought it would be closer because Jets game was magical.
I thought the Jets
– And it was here.
I thought the Jets were – I thought that game was winning.
So your quarterfinals for tomorrow – the Ravens await the winner of the Jags-Bears today.
Yep.
We'll post that here in just a few minutes. That'll be up till about noon tomorrow.
Yep.
The 2-7 game is Jets versus Colts.
Yep.
The 3-6
Bengals,
is
Texans.
Bengals and Houston.
Yep.
And then Pukers 49ers in the 4-5 match.
I'm concerned for the Pukers. They only got 3%. Come on. Jim Donovan, that game.
That's Donovan return. That's Nick Chubb.
I can't believe that's behind the Bengals game. That is more shocking to me than the Ravens game beating the Jets game, is that the Steelers game did not beat the Bengals game.
That was, yeah, I mean, that's the, that had all of it. And that's the pop for Chubb.
Yep.
And the pop for Jim was ridiculous.
Enormous.
By the time the game kicked off, I needed a drink.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah.
No, I was emotionally spent.
You were crying when the game kicked off, as was I.
Yeah. Yeah, that was certainly a good one. So
I had to do three.
So then when we get into this, like tomorrow, you're going to have
four different polls going.
So you're going to have four different polls going tomorrow, and then like here it says we will play a montage of highlights from each game.
So Uno has put together stuff. I'll turn the mic over to him.
Yeah, so I took some clips from the old intros that we used to do on Victory Monday, added a few highlights and a few quotes from the players. So it's just kind of a highlight reel of the biggest moments from all the wins this year. So we do have one for today.
Do we have? Well, let's, well,
yes,
so then let's
from
play
the Bears
that.
Game and from the Jaguars game.
For Uno.
Flacco underneath center on third and one. Takes it, turns, bootlegs it out to the right. He's got a man wide open. And Joku's got it at the 5 going in. Touchdown! What a beautiful fake by Flacco. Second and 5. Flacco back. Looks middle and Joku wide open. 20, 15, corner, 10, 5. Touchdown! He's got 2.
Once I caught the ball, I was like, I got to take this to the house, you know. Joe Flacco threw a beautiful ball, you know, and we finished the play in the end zone. And Joel Bitonio had a amazing Chiefs play, by the way.
It's first and 10. Lawrence back to pass. He throws for Ridley, and it's picked off. MJ Emerson's got it again. MJ Emerson has 2 picks.
And MJ Emerson, a star is born, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I'm biased, but I think it's the best cornerback performance. Not just because he's my brother, but, you know, to get 2 picks, I think he might have about 3 pass defended. That's an unbelievable performance.
Flacco on 4th down and 3. He rolls right. He throws the middle. It's wide open. Down at the 25, at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. It's David Bell. Oh, my goodness. They forgot to cover David Bell.
It was the parting of the Red Sea, Jim.
I think as soon as I caught it, because the way that I caught it, I thought somebody was going to be right on me, and I thought they was going to hit me. But once I figured nobody hit me, I just turned around, and I just seen nothing but green grass.
So, I mean, were you a little surprised when you turned around?
I was surprised. I'm not a little. I was a lot surprised.
Hey, Miles, when Joe got here 3 weeks ago, did you have your suspicions about what he had left?
You see all that gray hair, you might too.
Oh, Joe Flacco. Oh, Joe Flacco. You beat us so many times as a Raven and once as a Jet. But today you are a Cleveland Brown. And the Browns win today, a game they absolutely had to have. And they outlast Jacksonville and win 31-27.
Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
There you go.
Delightful.
That was a delight.
The Jags game, remember, that was the first win for Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming off of the 2-game losing streak out on the West Coast.
Yep.
And you come back in the Jags at that time were the first place in the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence played. They, you know, that was a big game, a big win. And you never were behind. It was comfortable, 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 even though it ended up being a 4-point game. It felt more comfortable than that. I think as we sit here now, after hearing those highlights and kind of the emotion there from Jim, the Bears game was such a nice win, but I think the Jags game is probably going to advance. The Bears game had the nice comeback. You had the unbelievable throw, but there was also a lot of bad in the Bears game.
The urgency of the Ravens or the Jacksonville win.
Yeah.
When you think about what had just happened, you think about, I mean, I just, when I, now I put myself back in the time and I remember talking to you in LA, I can't remember if we were on the show or off, I think it was off. And you're like, dude, he looks legit. And I'm like, come on, dude, what are you talking about? He looks legit.
Dude,
there's no chance.
He looks so good.
And you're like, and I, you know, you are, you're an excitable. I love it about you.
Fair.
You're a glasses half full. You're a cockeyed optimist. You gulp with from the enthusiasm of life.
That's right.
And yet, when I so when you say that,
I love the sweet nectar of the end zone.
You love the sweet nectar of the end zone. The full moisture spectrum pleases you
greatly.
It certainly does. So, and yet, I was like, okay, I need to see it. Like, come on, I can't really believe that he's still got that much in the tank. He hadn't played. Like, what are we talking about? And then he did, and he was great. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the one that. And it was that one had to. You had to have it. Like, it was trending really poorly, and it was like, God, we're going to lose this.
The Bears one is so special because it was a game that we traditionally lose.
Yes.
Down late, bad interception by Flacco. You'd thrown a pick six earlier. It's just a game that we normally lose, and we won it. And then the finish, I mean, the final play for a ball to be on the guy's chest while he's on his back in the end zone and have it somehow get popped out of there so yep. that we don't lose on a Hail Mary was magical.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much was.
Do we have those ones too, Uno?
Yeah, I have one for every game.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go.
Do it. Bears.
I mean,
Uno.
All we want is more of this. This is what we're saying with these Victory Monday shows.
Uno.
I mean, Joe, Uno. Like, it was where it had to be. It was perfect, you know? I mean, there's not like a place it could have been better. You feel me? So, I had to just catch it.
Second and goal. The Browns stay big. Roll out right. Here's Flacco rolling. Firing into the corner of the end zone. And Joku caught it. Touchdown, the Chiefs. Justin Fields underneath center. Here's Fields rolling out to the right. He's going to get the first down. He got tripped up. Oh, I don't know. He got tripped up and his knee came down. He might be short.
Like I said before, I mean, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, the catch probably had a degree of difficulty just because I was able to see a couple guys in my periphery. But I wasn't really worried about that. I knew that, you know, I had to make a play as far as just catching the ball. I didn't know I would score. But, you know, I attribute the whole thing to Joe just because, you know, I play with a lot of different quarterbacks. And not a lot of quarterbacks are keen enough to make the throw the way he made it. It was incredible, you know.
Play action fake as Flacco drifts right, throws, and he's got Cooper open. He caught it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. I don't believe it. Cooper open, and Cooper tightrope walks down the sideline, tippy toes in.
I blacked out. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's this season.
The ball is intercepted. It's intercepted by the Browns as DeAnthony Bell got it. He got it. Ball game over. Browns win. 20-17.
Who could have wrote this story? I mean, not even Dr. Seuss, so.
It's all over! Thank God, because Jim, that ball was knocked down onto Darnell Mooney's chest, who was on the ground, and then it popped up into the air miraculously, and DeAnthony Bell gets the interception. Darnell Mooney had a shot at it. Oh my God, the cardiac kids are back, Jim. 9-5, and you remain undefeated.
Damn, you're myself, dog.
That's such a good line out of you. And you remain undefeated. That was great at the end.
Gotta
I love
it.
That. That
gotta
was wonderful. All right, so the people could vote. That's a good job out of you, Ono. You know the only – one more. Now you're on, yeah.
Hello?
You know the only thing that would make those even more enjoyable is if it was a full 2 hours of that joy.
Yes.
What? That's
Uno's giggling. He's just giggling at the proposition of genius.
Gibby, you would. I think everyone would win. Audience wins the biggest.
I think when we unveil this,
I want Zagura cutting up and editing one of the entire games.
It's
why,
and then he's
got to
be here in studio.
Why Pedro?
You got your boys.
Team effort. I had the idea. My part done.
That's right. It's
valid. You need an idea.
The idea, and then
the execution.
The execution. Of the idea. Yeah.
Execution.
When Don Draper goes to sell the Kodak machine, that's the job,
and then it's up to Pete Campbell to
put this thing together, and then you got to get the art department involved. They come in and they make the art.
Yes.
That's how it works.
It takes
an idea,
village.
It's all this teamwork, Gibby. Teamwork.
Makes the dream work.
And, I mean, let alone the work that was done when we actually did those shows live.
Did them live.
That actual work.
I think people are going to be so excited by this idea. And, in fact, I know they are. I've gotten a lot of tweets about it.
Several tweets I've seen, too.
Gibby,
I've seen literally hundreds of tweets.
They're genius.
I don't know if you've seen the same tweets I'm seeing, but I've seen
a lot. Are you tagged on any of these?
I'm tagged on a lot of them. I got 68 mentions right now. We just dropped this idea 10 minutes ago.
73.
There you go.
76.
All right. So there you go. So the voting
and climbing.
Rocket ship. When is how long do they have to vote?
This poll will be up till tomorrow at noon.
All right. It's going up right now. All right. So there you go. All right. We'll go around the NFL coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Bo here for my friends at Jim Beam. What do sports and Jim Beam have in common? Both are better when enjoyed with others. So grab a bottle, gather your friends, and enjoy the game. Or the weekend or the good time. Because with Jim Beam, you come as fans and leave as family. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright the 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Drink smart. some
you
anxious
want to start
moments.
This?
Some anxious moments on this one. But now it appears, much like nothing's been official out of Pittsburgh yet, or did
Brooke
they
Pryor's
finally do
reporting
it?
Reporting it,
okay, and among others have that the Steelers are hiring former Falcons head coach and our boy Arthur Smith as their new offensive coordinator. Tom Pelissero, the first with that report.
Yay!
Hooray!
Ready to burn
Thank
that stadium
goodness.
Down. Beautiful.
Thank.
I just think
goodness.
It would have been. I mean, it would have been funny if we had to talk to him. Would have been pretty funny. And maybe you never know.
I mean, we could have been vaporized. There's a lot of dialogue.
There's a lot of dialogue.
About him.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were moments, like you hit me at one point, like something off air, and I was like, oh, that might not be ideal if that works out.
Well, it didn't.
But it didn't, thank God. And it's so
even
it's all the
better.
He's an enemy.
Stealer.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Your state was an enemy, stays an enemy.
Stays an enemy. So he is the least – his offense last year was the least in shotgun of any in the league.
Yep.
32nd in the league in shotgun percentage.
They're going to run Najee and they're going to use, he's going to try to do Najee and Warren like Algier and Bijan.
Mm-hmm. And like Henry before.
I just don't understand how these, Pickens isn't going to be thrilled with this.
No. And he's a zone run
similar.
Game,
he's,
similar to ours.
Yeah.
And really Najee and Warren are gap runners more than that. Like, I don't know. I think the fit is strange.
It is a strange, and it means you're going to see a lot of Freiermuth on the field with that big
Darrell Washington.
Washington, yeah. The tight end. So you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets. You're going to see a lot of running. I think for, like, honestly, for Pickett or Rudolph, it's probably the best case scenario because it's a kind of an easy offense to operate.
Yeah.
But
there's a low ceiling to it, as we've seen. I mean, he had the apex of it in Tennessee.
Yes.
And that was as good as it's ever going to be.
And that was Tannehill, Derrick Henry.
A.J.
These
Brown.
These guys are not an A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Which these guys are not.
These guys are not.
Pickens is very good, but Pickens is – Pickett, I
he's
think –
he's volatile.
I think Pickens and Arthur Smith, that's going to be – they're going to have a brawl at some point.
Yeah, I agree. I was pleased by it. They've had an interesting week.
It pleases
me. Art the second was he did the rounds yesterday, he did like the State of the Steelers stuff, and kind of in a way like took a little bit of a shot at Pickett in saying that you saw what happened when we got competent quarterback play with Mason, and it was like, well, Mason's a free agent, Pickett's coming back, and then they keep reiterating that like those two guys, like that's one of them's going to be the starter. It's like, are you really going to pay Mason Rudolph?
Hold on,
you've had him for 6 years.
Good.
No, agreed. But it just seems
good.
Wild. I saw somebody say that this puts the Steelers in the hall to get Justin Fields. No, I think opposite of that.
I don't think Justin Fields would want that.
Would not want to go there. Arthur Smith would have been. Couldn't he have been part of drafting Fields, or was he hired after?
No, that would. Fields has been in the league how many years?
Three.
I think Smith only got two.
He only got two. But I get, well, but that doesn't mean, I guess he could have been. No, not. So, all right. So there you go. So I don't think that that's it at all on the Fields thing. As a quick aside on that one, what do you think the timetable is on that? If you're Chicago, is that done? If you're trying to acquire him, do you want that done by the combine?
Well, over the weekend, they just posted a hype video of Justin Fields.
Yeah. I think that's,
which
to make
I'm
the
like,
fans
what,
happy.
What is that?
Fans love him there. So I think that it's just try to appease. Try to appease that. No, I mean, there was something today. I saw somebody put something together like New England in the third pick. New England gives you the third pick. You give them Fields in the nine. So Fields in the nine go to New England. The
it's
Bears get one and three,
deal.
And then they could go Williams and Harrison.
I don't want Fields to go there.
No, I wouldn't want to either. I think that'd be a tough spot. Atlanta's the spot for him.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith, by the way, hired like 3 months before Justin Fields was drafted in Atlanta. So he could have
3 months.
Oh, so
okay.
He had 3 years.
Well, that's why I was.
He was hired in January
okay.
of 2021. So could have had a chance to take him. If
so
he
then
wanted to.
He clearly
so
does.
He doesn't so want
he
him.
He doesn't want him.
No, he doesn't want him. Okay. Good job, Eddie Uno. The Falcons have named their offensive coordinator. It's Rams quarterback coach Zach Robinson. He will have the job there. Kellen Moore will have the job in Philly. We had Kellen. We saw him.
We did.
He was in there. Oh, there he is.
That's Kellen Moore.
There you go. The Seahawks are interviewing Ravens defense coordinator Mike McDonald and Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson for their head coaching vacancies.
There's a little breaking news on
hit
that.
Hit me.
Ben Johnson has pulled his name out of the running for any head coaching jobs and will remain in Detroit. Washington was in the air flying to meet him and Aaron Glenn when they got wind that Ben Johnson had pulled his name out of the running. This happened right before CBD.
Here's what Schefter says. Commanders officials were en route to Detroit for a meeting with Johnson and Aaron Glenn when they got word that Johnson was staying with the Lions per sources. While the abrupt pivot by Johnson was considered surprising by several league sources, he was not considered a lock for the Commanders job despite his strong reputation as a coordinator and a loyal coach. Commanders leadership teams remains eager to meet with the respected Glenn, who is one of several candidates the team is expected to consider for its head coaching vacancy. I mean, is Belichick not...
He's not going to coach.
He's done.
That's interesting on Johnson. It's a huge, incredible coup for Detroit to keep him. He's great.
Yep.
But, like, boy, buddy, strike while the iron's hot sometimes. I don't know that it's going to be hotter than it is right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You just
agreed.
Don't know. You never know how many of those opportunities you're going to get. And I don't think the Commander's job is that bad. Like, they do have some talent. They got new ownership who's going to throw around a lot of cash. Wow, that's wild. Let's see. Oh, we also have Bake is going to the Pro Bowl as an injury replacement for Dak Prescott.
Oh.
Congratulations to him.
All right. Back.
Yeah, there you go. Is that two? Did he sneak into another one? Like in
with us?
Yeah, like the second. Didn't he? There's so many alternates that happen in the Pro Bowl
in 2020, you're saying? That would have been the only year.
This is his first.
This is his first one. Yeah.
All right. Good for him.
Good for him. There you go. All right. So those are your news and notes of the day on the hiring and firing front of that. We'll do a little higher, lower coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All The Rolling Stones, Hackney Diamonds Tour, Saturday, June 15th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/Rolling Stones for more information here on the second hour of the program. Time for a little higher, lower, a little better, worse. Presented by Keep It Fun Ohio for the Ohio Lottery.
Or worse.
Offering easy ways to keep gambling fun. Hello, Gibbe.
Hi. Poll update on the game of the year bracket. Number 8, Jacksonville versus number 9, Chicago. 100 votes so far. That's right. We're aiming high. Jacksonville with 57% of the
votes. Closer than I would have thought.
57%. The Bears with 43%.
Closer than I would have thought. Interesting.
Yeah, not too shabby. I gotta give you one other thing here real quick.
Go. I got it.
This is from Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals for ESPN. He also covers everything sports-wise in Arizona because no one else
is a one-man beat.
He's a one-man beat. Former Alabama coach Nick Saban taking full advantage of his retirement. He will play in the Waste Management Phoenix Open Pro-Am next Wednesday. Saban on 16 will be a sight to behold.
That's going to be awesome.
That's really cool.
I mean, if he puts it close to the hole on that.
Yeah.
The amount of beer thrown in the air.
Let me ask you guys a question. Are you aware that that the Phoenix area has a National Hockey League team?
Yes.
Yeah, the Coyotes.
Okay. Are you aware of their home stadium situation?
No. Griffiths.
Griffiths. All right.
But they play in the arena that the they're not in the arena that the Suns are in?
No. No. And not only that, they don't play out in Glendale, where they used to play, because there's an arena out there. The Suns play downtown, and then there's an arena out in Glendale that they played in, okay?
That's on the same property as the football stadium.
Yep. They were thrown out of it a couple of years ago. They play at Arizona State. And if you're saying to yourself, that can't be. An NHL team plays in at a college venue that seats like 6,000 people, and they get dressed with curtains around them to get dressed in. The answer to that is yes, they do. They played in it last year. They're playing in it this year. There is currently no plan to get a stadium done out there. They keep trying to get something done. They can't get anything done. They don't know where to put it. They can't find a way. They've done Tempe. They've tried everything. They are playing at Arizona State's. And by the way, if you're saying to yourself, well, Arizona State, I mean, that's got to be like Yost up at Michigan, like this legendary. No. Arizona State hockey? It's not.
It's in the desert.
No.
Not. No.
Why'd they get kicked out of their arena?
There was a big fight between the city council and Glendale and their ownership. The NHL has taken ownership of it at some point. It's a mess. They just need to get it out at Arizona. Like, nobody needs hockey there. Like, just get it out, and they have it.
How many seats? 5,000?
It's $5,000. 5,000.
Who were they before?
Winnipeg Jets.
The Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, Winnipeg Jets. And they moved to Phoenix, you say. But it's just bad ownership left and right, all of it. But they've been the Phoenix Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes. I don't even know what they are.
I feel like
now.
That's a popular theme in Arizona.
What happened to Hartford, the Whale?
They are the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes.
They should go back. Hartford Whalers was elite.
Well, what's bad is like they did what the Oilers, Tennessee did. Like they wore Hartford Whale jerseys in Raleigh for the Carolina Hurricanes. Not great. Not great.
Hartford, the Whale.
The Whale. Gorgeous. I mean, the Nordiques was gorgeous, too.
Oh,
Nordique uniforms.
Yes.
Beautiful.
The Quebec Nordiques.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are great ones.
All right, Canucks guys.
Still going?
They are. Yep.
Pavel Bure still getting it done for them.
How about Anna Kournikova went Fedorov, Bure, Iglesias, and has been married to Enrique Iglesias ever since.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I can be your hero.
That's right. When I first moved here in 07.
Very good, Gibby.
It's a good job out of you.
There you go.
When I first moved here, we were down in Columbus in 07, and I was at Hyde Park, kind of on the cap there. And I was sitting at the bar waiting for Aim to come over. She was in between shows and to have a little dinner. And I was sitting at the bar, and at that time, I looked down the bar, and Sergei Fedorov was sitting at the bar, just two seats down. And nobody knew who he was. And I remember just thinking, like, this is like one of the greatest hockey players of all time. He was finishing his career in Columbus. He played like one or two seasons there at the end of his run. One of the greatest hockey players of all time. He was at one point he was famous for the Kournikova stuff too. So that there was that part of it. Do you guys even know who Anna Kournikova is?
Probably not.
I've heard that name before, but I don't know.
I do.
Thanks, Kev.
You're welcome.
Kev knows. Kev knows. Yeah. Yeah.
If you told me, I would probably, it would probably yeah. click right
away.
Well,
in my she mind. Was a, she was like the number
just
one.
Google.
She was a very good tennis player. She never won a major or anything. She was a very good tennis player. She's actually an elite doubles tennis player. I think she won some, maybe a major in doubles, but was a very pretty young lady. Yeah. And so, go ahead.
Fedorov was the 74th pick in the draft in 1989.
Well, think about why, though.
He was unbelievable, though, with the Soviet Union.
That's there you go. It.
They didn't know if they were going to get him to come over or not.
Didn't know if they'd get him. Okay.
Remember, they didn't come over till the 90s. There's an incredible documentary about the Red Wings Soviet players who came over and played for the Red Wings.
Yeah, so he defected in July 1990.
Yeah, like they weren't they couldn't play in the league. And then finally they relented, and they did. Once the wall came down, they finally let him.
Listen to this. The Soviet national team came to North America to play in the 1990 Goodwill Games, and it scheduled an exhibition match in Portland's Memorial Coliseum July 22nd, 1990. Jim Leitz came to Portland, picked up Fedorov outside his hotel after the game, and brought him to Detroit and Red Wing owners Mike Ilitch's private jet. Fedorov was described as one of the three great players in one. Once held the claim of being the top player on the planet.
No, he was, for sure.
Stevie Eiserman said he was the best skater he's ever seen.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
So he played for...
He played for Columbus towards the end of his career.
Wild.
Yeah.
Played for
no one knew in Columbus who he was.
No, they had no idea.
CSKA
they would
Moscow.
Now,
yeah.
But that was, you know, that's 07. So, like, they'd been around for 5 years. Like,
when he was 16, he played for CSKA Moscow in the Soviet Union. Also on his line were Pavel Bure and Alexander McGillney.
That was crazy about a talent.
Dude.
They're all dudes. Yeah, they're all dudes. All dudes. All right, there you go. There's your little hockey.
So when, how about this? The draft.
Yep.
They picked him 74th in the fourth round. Red Wings general manager Jim Devolano had consulted team captain and future Hall of Famer Stevie Eiserman about Fedorov, knowing the two had played against each other in the World Championships. Eiserman told him point blank, "He's better than me." I mean, Stevie Eiserman was.
He was a dude.
I used them NHLPA 93, 94.
Oh, God, yeah. He was
when you
amazing.
Could roll, you had him, Fedorov.
So he wore 19 and Fedorov wore 91.
91.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
It was very cool. That's what's, so Ilitch's deal there, this is turning into a whole sidebar. Oh. Ilitch's deal there is, he owned the Tigers and the Reds. So they won all those cups when he owned the Red Wings, right?
Yep.
They won all those cups. Well, then the NHL put in a hard cap, and he couldn't outspend anybody anymore. And so then he started spending money on the Tigers. So that's Miguel Cabrera, like all that stuff in that era. Remember, they were freewheeling spending, and they got all the
went
way to the
World Series,
but they didn't win
lost
it.
To the Redbirds.
But like when they had all those guys, he was paying for all those guys. Verlander was there. Scherzer was there.
Oh, this incarnation.
I'm saying, of the Tigers.
Did he own them when they had like
he did not,
Jack
I don't know
Morris,
if he owned them,
Alan Trammell,
that I don't know.
Lou
if
Whitaker.
He knew them in like 84, I don't know that. I don't know that.
I don't think so. Yeah.
So the best she's ever done, we're back to Kournikova quickly.
Yeah.
The best she's ever done. As a singles, quarterfinals of the Australian Open, fourth round of the French Open, semifinals at Wimbledon in 97, fourth round of the U.S. Open. In doubles, she has 16 career titles. Her highest ranking was number one in doubles player, doubles team in 1999. She has won the Australian Open twice.
Yeah, so she was like, people thought that she wasn't like a legit tennis player. No, she's semifinals at Wimbledon. And she was a number one ranked doubles player. Like, she was legit.
And lost in the finals. In 1999, she won the Australian Open doubles, was in the finals of the French Open as well.
Yeah.
And whatever the tour finals are, they won that one too.
There you go. Yeah. There you go, kids.
I was a Hingis You're guy. Welcome. I liked Martina Hingis.
Yeah, I did. I liked her too. I'm trying to remember what happened to her. She won a ton.
She was.
She get attacked on the court.
That's Monica
Seles.
Monica Seles got attacked.
Martina Hingis won.
She won a few majors for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happened to her was Serena Williams.
Martina Hingis was like
Serena Williams happened to her.
If Keira Knightley was a tennis player,
yeah, a lot very similar.
That was Martina Hingis.
Yeah, I actually think she dated Sergio Garcia. Oddly,
dude, hold on. She was.
Do I have that right?
I'm gonna look personal life. I'm gonna look that up. I don't know. It looks like she was engaged to a Czech tennis player in 2006. They broke it off in 2007 and 9. She began engaged to a Swiss attorney she'd been living with. They broke that off. In 2010, she married 24-year-old Thibault Houghton, a French equestrian show jumper. They separated, and then now she's married sports physician Harold Lehman. And so she likes to get engaged.
She dated Garcia in 02.
In 02. That didn't make it in here.
Into the
Sergio Garcia dated a lot of people.
All right, yeah, Hingis was number one in the world.
Yep.
Pretty sure half of Akron every time he came here for the Firestone.
But he did very well.
In 1997, she won Wimbledon. She won the U.S. Open. She won the Australian Open, and she lost in the finals of the French Open.
Yeah, I think Serena Williams happened to her.
She won the Australian Open 1997, 1998, and 1999.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yes, she was quite
very
good.
Very good. All right, go ahead.
A little higher or lower?
Let's do it.
That's fine. We'll just keep it going.
Real quick, just a little more fact for the people.
Yep.
She outdid Kournikova as a doubles player. She's won the Australian Open as a doubles player 5 times, French Open twice, Wimbledon 3 times, U.S. Open 3 times. Most recently, 2017, she won the doubles at the U.S. Open.
Mr. Bishop in the front row.
I'm pretty sure that she was a partner with Kournikova on a doubles title.
Could have been French 90. It could have been French.
I think she played with Kournikova some.
She won the doubles Grand Slam in 1998.
It's pretty good.
The Australian good with Mirjana Lucic.
I'm pretty sure she did. I know she played with Kournikova.
In 1999, she won her third successive Australian Open singles crown as well as the doubles title with Anna Kournikova.
Who's stopping me right now?
Nobody.
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 Come on.
It's when you actually knew who tennis players were.
That's right. I couldn't tell you who they are now, but that's who it was.
Hingis.
Yeah, she was good.
Cody Benjamin, CBSSports.com. That's welcome right. to the offseason.
Cody.
Higher or lower, the NFL 2024 playoffs, ranking the 12 teams that have been eliminated in these playoffs and ranking their chances of reaching Super Bowl 2025, including the Lions and Ravens in this.
Okay.
So from number one to number 12.
All right.
First and foremost, number 10, your Cleveland Browns.
The only team they have us behind is Pittsburgh and Bucks in terms of making the playoffs of the teams that,
yes.
that were in the postseason but didn't.
Zagura, higher, lower, or just right?
I like our chance. I like us better than the Rams. I really do. They're just getting older. I like our chances. I know that the Texans are an ascending team, but I like the Jags in that one too. Packers are still behind the Lions. I'd probably put us around like up a couple of spots. Better. 2 spots better.
Bishop.
I think that our ceiling is significantly higher than several teams ranked ahead of us. But we need to see the ceiling. So yep. what I'm talking about, not just Deshaun, but like Nick, you know, like I got to know. I know we're going to have a plan at receiver. Like, what's that look like? So I think it's fair that we are where we are because I think our questions are big questions. But I think if our question gets answered, then I can put us in the top five. If the questions are answered, then you
agreed.
Can then you're a yeah. top 5-6 team in the league.
That's right.
So it's just we've got our questions are. I agree that no matter what our questions are, we're ahead of Pittsburgh and Tampa. But in terms of our questions being answered, we just need to see those things. So
Next.
I think it's fair.
Did it say higher or lower?
It did. Yeah, yeah. You're good. You're good. You're safe.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you're safe, pal.
I'm not sure what the issue is. Number one, Baltimore. Number two, the Buffalo Bills. Bishop, higher, lower, or just right in terms of the eliminated playoff teams and the best chances to make the Super Bowl in 2025?
I think lower. I think they had a ton of pressure to do it this year. I think Cincinnati's going to be back as a real challenger in the AFC. I think we're going to be back as a real challenger in the AFC. The Jets are going to get Aaron Rodgers back in their own division. And they have some cap stuff they got to sort out. And you can figure that stuff out. But I thought there was a tremendous amount of pressure on them this year to do it. And I think that their window of this window, this incarnation of the Bills, feels like the window's closed on. Or it's maybe just a
They almost missed the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
They're in a very tough division. With, as you pointed out, Rodgers coming back with the Jets. The Dolphins are still a very dangerous and competent football team. So I think they could be maybe a little bit lower than that. A little bit lower.
Next.
Higher or lower?
Higher number.
The Eagles are number 3 The Lions, number 4. Dallas, number 5. Zagura, higher, lower, or just right? Chances of reaching the 2025 Super Bowl.
I think the Cowboys probably have a little bit of a better shot than the Lions. A lot went right for the Lions this year. I know they are young. I like the Lions, but Dallas has a little bit more star power, I feel like. They're in the same
similar
boat. Teams. I think
that's why Dan Campbell was as emotional as he was, because he knows that he's been in it, he's played it, he knows how hard it is to get back. They had so many things go their way. Two home games, all of it.
From a talent standpoint, I think we're the only team that's out of the top five that should go up into that tier if, to your point, the questions are answered to actually get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Texans, I think, are pretty properly rated there. But then I think it's hard for me to envision the Packers, Dolphins, Rams, Steelers, or Bucks going to the Super Bowl.
I would agree.
All right, so rounding out things, we talked about them already. The Texans 6, the Packers 7. Dolphins are number 8. I'll ask that real quick. Bishop, higher, lower, or just right for Miami?
Such a weird team. Like, them and Dallas kind of walk hand in hand. Like, they both – I mean, Dallas beat more quality teams than they did. They really didn't beat anybody good.
Yep.
They didn't.
It's wild.
It's crazy that they didn't. It was such a listless performance in Kansas City, too. Like, it wasn't even – the score, final score wasn't as dominant as the game even was. Like – they really didn't show up for that at all. I think it's a really critical year for them. I honestly, like, this is going to sound odd, but like, could I envision a scenario where if you get in your mind's eye, could I picture Stafford and McVay coming together and going on a run in the postseason more than I could Miami? I feel like I might. Like, it feels like,
yeah.
I've seen Stafford win playoff games. I've seen him hoist the Lombardi. Like, maybe they can do some things creatively to add some more talent to that roster. Like, Miami's kind of is what it is at this point. And the fact that McDaniel didn't have the answers to the test against the best teams would be troubling.
Yes.
And so that's an issue with him and the quarterback. It doesn't make sense because their talent is really high.
They're incredibly talented. But I feel like Tua functions in very particular environments very well. And I think that in the playoffs – you don't necessarily get to play in those kind of environments.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right. That's higher or lower. Should we do the Griff stat of the day?
Yeah, let's do it. Griff stat of the day.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It's the Griff stat of the day.
We're going to get some real sound.
Should have just recorded that. Should have just recorded that and played it.
Yeah, just gave it to you.
All right. Today we have a stat about our old friend, Odell Beckham Jr., who signed a one-year, $15 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens in the offseason with incentives, got up to $16 million. The numbers on this contract don't look great, as they equate to over $28,000 per yard, over $457,000 per catch, and over $5 million per touchdown on the season that the Ravens had to pay for. So a little bit of an underwhelming year for Mr. Beckham.
$500,000 a catch is great.
This is what I think.
Good.
This is what I think.
Good for him.
I think good for him. He's a nice guy. Here's what I think. I think Lamar wanted this deal.
Yeah, he wanted.
And so they did it. They're trying to make nice with Lamar.
Lamar didn't have his contract at that point.
No. And here's the other thing. Odell is beloved by players.
Yes.
They think he is the coolest cat ever. Like, he has a mystique around him. It's hard. It defies logic because it's been a long time since he's been great. He's been injured, unfortunately, so often. But he still carries an incredible Q rating amongst players.
Yep.
So I think that signing, yes, if you break it down to numbers, you're like, boy, that was brutal. But I think it was kind of something that Lamar wanted. They got Lamar done. And I think it was more than just what he did on the field is probably my guess on that. Don't miss Billy Joel and Rod Stewart together for the first time ever Friday, September 13th at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets go on sale Friday, February 2nd, 10 a.m. Visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/BillyandRod2024 for more information. It's Billy Joel and Rod Stewart together for one night only. The godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily, the great Vic Carucci, going to join us coming up next. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Notorious.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
A few things please me, like that music. It can mean only one thing. The Godfather, the man who birthed the show from his loins, the originator of CBD,
yes,
and current Bills NFL contributor at WGRZ in Buffalo, the great Vic Carucci joining us on the Twisted Tea Hotline.
B-I-C.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I will say, every time you remind me about birthing from my loins, those loins, it's still painful. To birth a whole show, guys, and you know how big that studio
incredible.
Is.
It's an incredible feat. It's a labor of love.
A lot of physical therapy, but I'm okay.
Look at this picture we've got.
We gotta tell Vic what's on the screen
right now
for him.
It's from 2014, because I remember that. Or 2013.
Yeah.
Those were the first polos I got. Vic holding the football in a brown Browns polo.
Yeah.
Just poised. Oh, you look ready to play quarterback, to be honest.
You do look great.
Yeah, I'm sure. He
looks fantastic.
You got to take a picture.
They had a 60-year-old guy play quarterback for the Browns this year, I believe.
It did happen.
He was great.
He couldn't have been better. He was
great. And it worked out.
Hey, Vic, before we get into the Dorsey stuff and everything, I was curious. You know, this is you had the playoff game this year, which had to be delayed in Buffalo. I know that they are doing a new stadium up there, and I you don't know if a dome would have helped it or not, but I know that it's not going to be a dome. What did they do? What is there in that stadium to make the in-stadium experience for fans more palatable? Like, I'm watching people shovel out snow and like a couple of weeks in a row, and I know that there's probably some charm to that, but that only goes so far. What type of technology is in that stadium for what will be a modern stadium in the NFL?
We all know shoveling snow is a charming thing. I would say this. As far as let's start with the biggest problem in the game being moved, and this would also include the one against the Browns, right, that had to be moved to Detroit, was access, was road, was travel. So the basic part of roads filled with snow that need to be cloud that are dangerous, that you could have stranded vehicles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That isn't going to change whether you dome it or not. We know that. That's obvious. But in terms of a team that would also, you know, try to present the best experience for fans, which I don't think includes having to shovel off your seat and still having snow, the remnants of that Pittsburgh game, all that snow that wasn't removed, it was, you know, you had 71,000 seats, and I think you had about 60 people trying to remove snow because a lot of it fell right before game time, as you recall. And there were still remnants of that for the Kansas City game, believe it or not. You saw, and you know, when the Bills scored the touchdown, the snowball celebrations, etc. The new, as I see the design and the design, the photos and whatever the concepts of the new stadium. It has this canopy deal that looks like it covers roughly 60% of the seats. But here's the thing, and I'm not trying to pretend to be a meteorologist here, but the last I checked, snow doesn't just fall straight down, right?
No.
Wind can often take it in different directions. And that gigantic hole, it's still a big hole, even with the canopy, I can see sideways snow filling, you know, as the winds fluctuate, filling some seats up. So I still think of a missed opportunity. You're building, you know, this is the largest construction project maybe since the Erie Canal was built in this area. You're going back a lot of years. And you're missing an opportunity, I feel. And I'm paying for some of it as a taxpayer. We're on, you know, the state is on the hook for $1.4 billion. Terry Pegula is going to be on the hook for probably close to 500, if not more, million when it's completed per the terms of the lease agreement. And I don't know, guys, building it right across the street from the current stadium, not putting it downtown, not making it part of an epicenter of the city, missed opportunities, but that's just me.
Agree.
We agree. We are brothers in arms on that. By the way, Notorious, we know we have the location of that hoodie, and it will come to the Combine in Indy to be presented to you. So don't think we've forgotten about it.
We'll do it on the program.
Yeah. No, I didn't think you did. And I would wear that with absolute pride. Yeah, yes, you know that.
Yes,
all right,
yes, of course. Well, we will. It will give us pride to have you wear it.
That's right.
That's right. We'll be very prideful. Notorious, obviously there have been some tough losses in the Buffalo Bills' storied history, the Super Bowls. This year it felt like this one in Buffalo against the Chiefs was incredibly painful. How does it stack up? Where does the franchise go from here? Because it feels like maybe a lot of eggs were in this year's basket. And maybe that's an incorrect perception from the outside, but that's how it felt looking in.
You're spot on with the eggs in basket. And these eggs, by the way, this basket's been in place for multiple seasons. A window of a few years, to say the least, this being the third of maybe 3 years of legitimate, you're in that, you're built for the Super Bowl. When you made the Von Miller move, all of that is pushing the chips to the middle and saying, and you got Josh Allen, you've got to win it. And then when you don't win it, when you come up short, there is that feeling. Now, this season had that sense of, you heard, resilience, like because of how they got into the playoffs when their season was veering off the tracks. When through a six-game stretch, right, in that ugly Denver loss, Monday night loss, that it had the feel of a season that, first of all, might be a disaster. They recovered from that, but it didn't mitigate the pain, I believe, and the fan base is angry. The fan base feels this missed opportunity was there, and it wasn't that they got blown out by the Chiefs. They were in it to the very end and found a way virtually to lose it with the missed kick. Now you still could have had Patrick, and probably would have had Patrick Mahomes drive down for winning points if it was a tie there, but that's why you don't go for the tie. And at parts in that, it was 8 minutes and 23 seconds of infamy because they were meandering between, let's get a field goal. And finally, at the end, settling for the field goal, but not before Josh Allen, misses a 60-yard throw that Stephon Diggs drops. And then when he goes for the gusto, the money play, he doesn't go for Diggs. The money play is for Khalil Shakir in the middle of end zone. But Deion Dawkins, meanwhile, is getting virtually picked up and carried into Josh's lap by Chris Jones. And there's your game, really. That's the moment of truth. So, yes, bitter, upset. Are they still viable? Of course. But I'll tell you this, per your point, that they're the estimate. We don't know what the cap is, right? But they're about 50. The best guesstimates is about 50 million over they would be. So that's a lot of roster remake. I think they're going to become a significantly younger team this year, and you're going to see a lot of new faces.
Vic, one of the things that was so curious in that game, and obviously Diggs, what's happened to him over the last 10 games of the season is kind of wild and couldn't come up with those big catches, but you go back to the decision to go for it on fourth with a fake punt. It felt to me like the Bills were saying, if this was a movie, wouldn't it be so great if we call a fake punt and DeMar Hamlin scores a touchdown and it would be the greatest feel-good moment ever? But this isn't a movie. This is real life. I mean, if you're going to make that decision, don't you just put Josh Allen out there and say you find a way to get 4 yards?
It's so funny. I feel like you've been part of the conversations that have been going on throughout Western New York, because I've had any number of people either, and I'm talking non-media, why did they just leave the offense on the field? So uttering your exact words, and I'm in that camp too. It was a bizarre thought. It was fourth and five. It wasn't fourth and let's just sneak it here and we'll really fool. And by the way, the Chiefs weren't fooled. They had one of their defenders was wired right with a microphone. I don't know if you've seen the replay. It's been on social media calling for watch the fake as the defense was coming off the field for fourth down. And the punt cover team was coming on for KC. Watch the fake. Put on your earmuffs. That's the whole signaling of that. And, of course, and they had 10 men on the field, by the way, Kansas City. And they still
stopped it.
DeMar Hamlin, who's barely played this season, is not the guy who should have had the ball in that circumstance. Just say it. You don't do that. It felt, guys, I'll say this. This is the KC effect. There is such a, when you've got, not unlike having Tom Brady on the other side, when you've got Patrick Mahomes, when you've got Kelsey, when you've got Andy Reid, when you've got this Hall of Fame crew of this dynastic team on the other side, I think it gets right into your head as an opposing coach, and you start saying, we better do something extreme. We better swing, you know, for the fences, or it's good, or we're going to not have a chance.
Yeah, it felt all of that. There's a desperation to all of it. Great Vic Carucci joining us. Vic, I want to ask you about Ken Dorsey reportedly coming here to be the offensive coordinator. Our hunch is, and we haven't heard anything officially here, but just putting the connecting some dots, that his experience with a young Josh Allen, his experience with Cam Newton in Carolina in terms of implementing some of those things with Deshaun Watson would be a big reason for that. It obviously didn't go well for him as an offensive coordinator this year in Buffalo. He was let go, and then Joe Brady. But what can you tell us about Ken the person? What can you tell us about Ken, the guy who can hopefully get Deshaun Watson back to what he once was?
Yeah, so I'll put it in some – I'll give you a plus-minus column on it. The pluses, he bonded so well with Josh Allen when he was the Bills quarterbacks coach and doing that job and passing game coordinator that was from 2019 to 2021, had been the quarterbacks coach for the Panthers before that, and then was out of football for a couple of years before arriving in Buffalo in 2019. Instant bonding, being a former player, I think works to his benefit. He's a great communicator that way, can reach a player that way. I don't think it's traditional coach-player relationship. Yeah, he's the guy who is ultimately putting things together and setting a plan, but it's collaborative, and I know that's what Josh loved about him. Josh was devastated when the change was made after that Denver game, and frankly, of all the things that went wrong in that Denver game, I know the decision didn't maybe encapsulated more than that. The offense was running pretty wonky for the most part up to that point, but that on the list of things that were going wrong, and to have this firing happen in the immediate aftermath, Dorsey's was low on that list. Dorsey's contribution. Now, when he took over as coordinator, there were some instant results in 2022, following big shoes, Brian Daboll's shoes, but he learned well, I think, also under Daboll, was really utilizing much of a playbook and a philosophy that Daboll had put in place. Why? Because he got Josh Allen, who is he's a fully, finished or mostly finished product. So you're not teaching somebody really a whole lot. You're fine tuning and adapting. Now, by the second half of 22, as you saw, there was a tailing off of the offense, and in the playoffs, it certainly went bad. They didn't play that well against Miami. They got eliminated, by the Bengals' awful game at home in the divisional round. And then you go into this year, and Josh was, you saw that first game against the Jets, forcing throws to Diggs, not looking together. He was inside his head. I still think there was more of a Josh problem than a Dorsey problem, but when you're the offensive coordinator, you're paid to solve the problems of the quarterback, right? There's just no middle ground on that. And as Josh continued to struggle, slash the offense struggling through a good six weeks, even in wins against the Giants and Buccaneers where they were survival wins, that was the case that was kind of building up against him. Now, so he gets fired. Joe Brady taking over, and yes, the offenses look better to the point where even with a half dozen game or so sample size, Sean McDermott decides, let's keep this guy. He really made that decision because Josh said, I want this guy. This is just like Josh said, I want Ken Dorsey as the replacement for Brian Daboll. So Josh's endorsement, if you put faith in that, and I think it's fair to put a decent amount of faith in that. That should carry some weight. As I said, if you ask Josh Allen how he feels about Ken and Ken getting this opportunity with the Browns, he'd be doing cartwheels. He's very happy for him. They great relationship right to the very end. I think Josh feels and should feel somewhat responsible for Ken not still being with the Bills.
So, Vic, the way that I've kind of come to understand this from the Brown side of it is that, you know, Kevin Stefanski is obviously so good at that, you know, the under center, hard play action, kind of that Shanahan Kubiak system, the outside zone, the play action off of it. Obviously, we've increased our run game thanks to Bill Callahan, but that what he wasn't maybe as well versed in is shotgun, having a quarterback who you incorporate into your run game, the RPO game, the drop back game, straight drop back game in the shotgun. And is that what Dorsey is good at from his time, either whether it be with Cam Newton or then obviously with Josh Allen and Dable and the things that the Bills did?
Absolutely. Now, the fine line, and this, I think some of this is the Sean McDermott defensive background roots thinking that he didn't love, and he spoke out about it actually at last year's Combine, is when you first sort of heard this message that he started to deliver, which was, we really want Josh to be, you know, more prudent with his running, more careful, just exposure to hits, right? So, and I think in many ways that was a message to Dorsey too about the design. Now, that somewhat got into Josh's head because I think there was an indecisiveness on Josh's part about, should I pull it down and run? Should I be running and throwing? What do I do? And there were moments where he looked just like frozen in his own mind. I don't know that that's going to be a problem for Watson, but I'll say this. It's about design. And guys, we know this much. That is such a weapon. The RPOs, when you have a quarterback who can run, who can make plays with his feet, who can keep a defense so off balance, especially on third down, and the third and longer plays, I think, are when quarterback running is its most effective and deadly. With all due respect to Tush Push, but I do think that's really when you have that fleet athletic guy, and Josh is that guy. Watson, I'm sure, can be that guy, and I know you guys have seen it a bit, but my most lasting memory of Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, Houston Texans, Buffalo Bills wildcard playoff game, and he in large part got the Texans out of a 16-point hole with his feet. And he got sacked like 7 times in that game, got hit a bunch more, but kept getting up and kept making those stretch-it-out plays or those move-in-the-sticks plays with his feet.
Vic, you're the best, buddy. We'll see you at the Combine, pal. Gifts in tow.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. All right. Looking forward to it. Be well, gentlemen. Love you guys. All right.
Love you, too.
The best. The great Vic Carucci. The Godfather. If a car, truck, or motorcycle accident caused you injury, call the injury lawyers at 1-800-ELK Ohio for a free case review. Elk and Elk's a proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. So much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Did we start this, the Sofia Vergara show?
Griselda.
So
no, we haven't talked about it yet.
All right. So I was going to start it, and then the blonde fell asleep with Bootsy. He was a little under the weather, so I didn't start because I thought we'd probably watch it together. But I did watch a little of it. I wish it was just Vergara.
She's not, though. She's
but
Griselda.
I don't care. What do I care?
She
I don't
still
need the
looks
historical,
like Vergara.
I don't know. I almost not. Like, it was tough.
It's
especially like the.
They're trying to.
I understand.
Bring down
I get
one
it.
Of the most beautiful people.
I understand.
And she still is.
Yeah.
You still know that she's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. You're going to like it.
I will. I'm kind of for all of that.
And supposedly after you finish it, that people recommend you watch. The documentary Cocaine Cowboys, one of the two documentaries, is on Griselda Blanco.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was that same guy that did Cocaine Cowboys. I'm pretty sure he did The U.
Okay.
The doc, The U. Billy Corgan, I believe, is his name.
Sounds right.
Much like the Smashing Pumpkins lead singer.
Despite all my rage, still just
rat in a cage, baby. That's all it is. That video had a lot of intensity to it.
I loved it.
There's a lot going on.
That song, I had a big...
it's a good one.
That was a banger.
Yeah. That was good.
There's a lot going on in that video.
There is. All right, so we're going to do this tomorrow. Is that the operation? That's the deal?
Make sure you go on to Browns underscore daily and vote.
Unless we want to play a victory.
The Hoff joins us tomorrow from Germany.
He's back.
Yeah, yeah.
The tales of the Hoff.
All he's been doing is skiing, I feel like.
Just skiing.
It feels like they're on a ski vacation.
Went into Germany. You got to live. Next level's up next. Thanks for listening. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.